Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, DGen Nation, what is up? What is happening? Back again for another week. We are on to week three. We have the Panthers and Texans at a shootout right now, 17-9. And what could be called a bloodbath with Christian McCaffrey getting hurt, J.C. Horn getting hurt, DJ Moore getting hurt. There's just been one after another. Not a good night for the Panthers, but we're not here to talk about that. I'm joined, as always, with my excellent co-host, Maddie D. You can find him on Twitter at Maddie DFS. What is up tonight, Maddie?
Dude, I almost didn't want to jump on because this game is so good. Like, I was just entrenched in my TV and was like, I don't know if I should tell Kev, you know, like, hey, I got to watch the rest of this game. But no, this game has not been good. Took the Panthers in Survivor this week, so trying to hold on to that. That's the only thing really that looks good tonight. Considering that CMC injury, but I mean, we talked about it in our Discord earlier today that, you know, playing CMC in the captain spot on a slate like this, where he's going to be 40-50% owned in captain spot, and he just locks you into a specific roster build. That's the kind of, you know, game theory we talk about all the time, just trying to be different from the field. And it's probably going to pay off, you know, for if you have DJ Moore in the captain spot and did not play Christian McCaffrey there. So, we'll drop some more roster nuggets like that on this week three slate.
No, for sure. And I guess it is good news. DJ Moore is back in the game. So I guess
that's, yeah, it looked like he just slipped and hit his knee weird on the ground. Hey, there's a Robbie Anderson catch for you. It looked like he slipped and hit his knee weird on the ground when he was trying to block on a play that was on the other side of the field. I don't know what was going on there, but
well, that is good news because I have Robbie Anderson on my team that's looking, it's in the top 150 right now on DraftKings. So
let's go.
We'll see how that turns out. Anyways, let's, enough of that. People don't want to hear about the showdown. So let's jump right into it. Week three. You know, I mean, if we look at last week right now, I think there were some really good games. The Vikings and Cardinals game, which is a game we really talked a lot about last week, especially with Kirk Cousins. But there was also a lot of hype for that Chargers and Dallas game, which did not go off. And
we're going to talk about that game.
Yeah, 20-17. And so, you know, this week is very similar, where you got some really high-priced games or high-total games in there. You have the Tampa Bay-LA game, which is 55.5. You have the Chiefs game, which is also right there at 55. You also, I mean, even have, like, the Arizona game, which is at 52 right now. So, I mean, we'll see how this all plays out. But, you know, I think there's something to be said about targets for these games is that, you know, understanding the risk that you have with, you know, with, when the games don't go the way that you expect them to, because, you know, I think there's a lot of people that had a lot of exposure to Dak and Herbert and, you know, Keenan Allen and Amari Cooper and, you know, a lot of those players that they didn't really pay off that with that well. Where you have this game, this Tampa LA game, which is the highest total on the slate. And I mean, if you remember this game last year, it wasn't that great. Like, I think Brady only had like 15 fantasy points in that game, DK points in that game. So while on paper it looks like it could shoot out, but these are still two really good defenses. And so I think, you know, this game could go any other direction.
Yeah, and I took a very brief look at ownerships before we hopped on, and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp check in at number one and number three in terms of wide receiver ownership this week. So, I mean, we know where the ball's going in L.A., and Tampa Bay's a pass funnel, but it's going to come down to how much do you really like this L.A. offense in this spot, because they're going to be popular. We can talk about it. But, yeah, I mean, I think touching on that Chargers – Dallas game from last week is very important as well, because this Chargers defense is playing, they're purposely playing too high safety to limit the big plays over the top, and they're keeping everything, you know, underneath. And so I know that, you know, Tyreek can burn anybody, but I mean, he just got shut down last week as well, in a team against Baltimore who made an effort to, you know, double cover him down the field. And really it was Travis Kelce that had to do the damage underneath and one-on-one matchups elsewhere, you know, with like DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle. So we have seen, you know, good running back success against the Chargers through 2 weeks. Antonio Gibson has crushed them in week one, and both Dallas running backs played fairly decent. You know, Pollard went over 100 yards last week. So we'll talk about CEH because he's going to be popular too. But I think some of these games can be a little trappy for various reasons. So I'm curious to hear where you're at QB.
Yeah, let's just start right into it. So you have Kyler Murray, who is right now on just a record-setting pace, much like he was last year, where he was going to break everything through two games. And then you have at 8,300, you have Patrick Mahomes at 8,200. Lamar Jackson at 7,800 in a juicy matchup against Detroit. Russell Wilson playing Minnesota, 7,600. Josh Allen, who has not looked very much like Josh Allen, at least the Josh Allen that he was last year so far to start the season, at 7K. Tom Brady at 6,800. Herbert at 6,500. So you can look at that a little bit as a value. And then you also have Matt Stafford at 6,400, Kirk Cousins at 6,300, Tannehill at 62, and Baker Mayfield to start out at 6K. So for me, I think, you know, really starting out, like, you know, Mr. Obvious here, but Russell Wilson looks like, you know, one of the an elite play this week and a matchup that should shoot out. But again, you know, not going to put all my eggs in that basket, but I mean, this offense has looked just as good as it did starting last, you know, just like it was last year, where it really was, you know, running on all cylinders as well. Him and Tyler Lockett continue to just torch worlds. And I think in this matchup here against Minnesota, you know, Minnesota's going to be forced to throw. And also for Minnesota, I mean, it's looking like Dalvin Cook may not play. He has not practiced each of the first two days of practice this week. And so if he's out, I think then they really are going to have to really open up the offense and throw the ball more. So I really like Russell Wilson at 7,600. I think Justin Herbert is definitely in play. There's a lot of questions with this Chiefs offense right now because they just look – or their defense has just been exposed the first 2 weeks of the season. They can't stop the run. Through the air, the first week they didn't have Honey Badger, but last week he was there. Now he did have the interception for a pick six in that game. But still, I mean, they were kind of doing what they really wanted to. And, you know, I'll say this with Justin Herbert. He's been just a little unlucky. He's had some touchdowns called back that he should have had. And so he's just been really unlucky so far to start the year, which has kind of suppressed him a little bit. But at 6,500 in a game that has really shootout potential. And listen, every time the Chiefs play, they have that potential. That's not breaking news to anybody. But this offense just puts pressure on you to keep scoring and to, you know, go for it on fourth down and do whatever you can to kind of keep the ball moving. So I like Justin Herbert at 6,500. I don't think his ownership is going to be too crazy because of the other guys that are on this slate. Daniel Jones, $5,800. Yep. You never feel good. Do you ever feel good playing Daniel Jones? I don't
Absolutely
think so.
Absolutely not.
But Daniel Jones at 5,800 in this matchup against Atlanta. Atlanta has one of the worst, if not the worst, secondary in all of football.
They're really, really bad.
And now we're mixing in the fact that Daniel Jones is getting to carry the ball so much. I think last week he had 10 carries for 95 yards, you know, almost had a touchdown, and which was called back to penalty. But Daniel Jones has played really well so far to start the year. And at 5,800, I mean, so far he hasn't scored less than 20 DK points, 22 in week one against a really good Denver defense. And then he also put up 29, almost 30 against Washington last week. So I like Daniel Jones. I know you don't feel good playing him. I think the question is, like, who do you play him with, right? Like, I think Sterling Shepard makes some sense if you want to do that, you know, and possibly Kenny Golladay as well. I guess we could talk about that when we get to wide receivers. But Daniel Jones at 5,800 is going to be really hard to pass up. You know, and then past that, like, if you really want to go deep, like, I don't know. Like, I think, you know, Justin Fields for sure is going to be in play at 5,200 because of his rushing floor that he brings to the table. And so but I'm curious to see what his ownership is going to come in at 5,200. I think he's going to carry some ownership in this game against Cleveland. And, you know, Cleveland's defense is good, but I don't think it's something that you should be necessarily, you know, too afraid of. And then there's one other guy, that Trevor Lawrence. Now, Trevor Lawrence has not played well so far to start the year, but Arizona's secondary is horrendous. It's bad. Really, really bad. And so if you want to get a little bit of leverage, $5,500 Trevor Lawrence, he has a little bit of rushing upside. We haven't seen as much as I think we thought we were going to. But in week one, I mean, he had 25 DK points week one. Last week, not so much. But again, he was playing that Denver defense, only had 8 DK points, but I don't mind targeting Trevor Lawrence if you're willing to pay up at other spots and maybe take some shots at some of these other games, you know, like the Tampa Bay game or the Chiefs offense. You know, you want to put in Kelsey at tight end or whatever. Like, I don't mind doing that as a cheap stack.
Yeah, I like Lawrence. He's actually one of the quarterbacks that I'm looking to play this week. And I'm, you know, me, I'm limited to a 3-5 team pool on any given week. So yeah, I mean, the price that he has is too cheap, but he does have the rushing upside. He hasn't shown the attempts yet, but, he does have it. You know, he showed it in college and he flashed it a little bit last week with 21 rush yards on only two attempts. So, I definitely like him. And I mean, while I do like Kyler Murray on the other side of that game, Kyler pretty much hit his ceiling last week. And at his price tag of 8,300, if he were to do the same thing, it's not necessarily going to burn me if I don't play him. I mean, he threw for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns through the air and also ran for 31 yards and had a rushing touchdown and scored 38 DraftKings points. At 8,300, I mean, sure, that's pretty much what he has to do for you to have a shot to take down tournaments. But, I mean, that's also not going to kill you if you don't play him. So Kyler's just kind of in no man's land for me with that price tag. I do love him. I think you absolutely can play him. You know, those running backs don't really show us, you know, a lot to be confident in. Chase Edmonds is a little bit better than Connor, but I mean, that's not two guys you're just going to turn around and hand the ball off to. So that offense is definitely going to roll through Murray on a weekly basis, just like it has through 2 weeks. And you mentioned that defense isn't very good. So, you know, the Jags should be able to push him on the other side. But if the Jags are pushing him on the other side, let me save $3,000 and just play Trevor Lawrence, who has, you know, 25 to 30 DraftKings point upside for $3,000 less. So definitely like the Trevor Lawrence call. You can play Russell Wilson anytime. I love Lamar Jackson this week against Detroit. If Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins were healthy, this would be probably a little bit different story for me. But the fact that they're not just going to turn around and lean on Latavius Murray and Tyson Williams the entire game. I know they want to run a lot with them, but these guys just aren't as productive as the starters would be. So, you know, we are going to see more. You continue to see Lamar run a lot, especially when, you know, the pocket breaks down and when teams rush them. And this Detroit Lions defense is really, really bad. We saw the 49ers put up, you know, 40 points against them week one, and Aaron Rodgers had a coming out party. Well, Aaron Jones had a coming out party in week two. So, you can run all over them, and that's a signature stat of Lamar. And it doesn't really matter if they are, you know, favored by a lot. Lamar is going to be the reason that they get a lot of points, I think. So I do like him a good bit at 7,800. I know it's not much cheaper than Kyler, but that 500 salary, if that can get you somewhere, I do like Jackson over Kyler for the savings. And then Josh Allen is somebody that I'm going to be on this week. I know you mentioned he's kind of not really shown us what, you know, the Josh Allen we were used to last year, but I mean, facing a fully healthy Pittsburgh defense and then turn around and facing a very good pass defense in Miami with those cornerbacks that they have. I think that we're still seeing the gunslinger mentality. I mean, Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders are just racking up air yards left and right, and Cole Beasley continues to man the slot underneath. So this offense isn't necessarily changing. I mean, they're still in the top, you know, nine teams of pass rate, sitting at 65% in neutral games, neutral scripts. So, and that's one score games. So I do like Buffalo here. This Washington defense has been a shell of what it was last year. They have not been, I mean, they just gave up 30 points to Daniel Jones just last week. And Josh Allen is a much better version of what Daniel Jones is, you know, a guy who has that mobile QB ability. And even week one, you know, Washington, they struggled week one as well. So I definitely like Josh Allen here, and it's easy to stack them up because you know where the ball is going. It's going to Diggs. You can take a shot on Emmanuel Sanders for really cheap because he's been the deep guy down the field, and they just haven't connected on their deep shots yet. So I really do like that Buffalo game. And you can run it back with a tight end and Logan Thomas or McLaurin pretty easily. Even though Tre'Davious White should stay on McLaurin. You definitely want to stack that there. Other than that, I'm probably not going to end up on Stafford just because of how popular the Rams are going to be. It's a great spot. Don't get me wrong. Same exact scenario we talked about last week with Dallas and the Chargers. It's just, you know, everybody's going to be on it. I mean, like I mentioned, Woods is the highest projected owned wide receiver, checking in around 30% right now. And Cooper Kupp is third right behind him at around 25%. So it's just a chalky spot, and I'm just going to try to be different elsewhere. So it's not that it's a bad play. And that's honestly, they're cheap enough that that's probably where I would go in cash games. Stafford 6,400, Woods is upper 5K, and Cooper Kupp is not breaking 7K yet, despite breaking the slate, you know, 2 weeks in a row. So I definitely think that the Rams would be my cash stack, and with how popular they are, it won't matter because in cash you don't care about that. So that's where I kind of sit on my take there, because I know, you know, people will ask about that. And then the Kansas City Chargers game, Kev, I know we talked about this a little bit earlier this week, that Chargers defense, they just really limit big plays, but they give it up to running backs, and the Chiefs defense has just been abysmal. So I think you can stack the Chargers up any which way you want. But I think on the Chiefs side, I'm going to focus on Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Travis Kelce, because I think those two deep safeties with Derwin James back there, you know, they're really going to try to limit Tyreek as much as they can. And we saw last week that it is possible to limit Tyreek. And yes, it's death by a thousand cuts. Like, when you limit Tyreek, Travis Kelce is going to go off. You know, DeMarcus Robinson can catch a long touchdown. And the Chiefs can just attack you so many ways having Mahomes back there. But it is a run funnel defense because they play back with those safeties in those corners, and they let everything happen underneath. And so that's why you saw the Dallas running backs have a lot of success last week. And I think this is the game that, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire can get rolling. His opportunities have been there. We would like to see his targets go up, which should be the case this week. And even, you know, pairing, if you want to mini stack that game and play Eckler on the other side, we saw Eckler's targets shoot up to 9 last week. If you're not looking to play the pass games there, but you definitely can stack up Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. The Mike Williams role has been awesome in this new offensive system with the new OC. So yeah, a lot to like on the Chargers side. And I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be my Chiefs run back there. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's the Jacksonville, Arizona game. I like Buffalo a lot, and then probably going to have some Chargers stacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Buffalo's interesting. They are tied with a bunch of teams in terms of applied points total, 26.5 this week in this matchup. I mean, just looking at Josh Allen, just kind of looking at some of his numbers a little bit. I mean, it is there. I mean, he is second in air yards among all quarterbacks.
He's slinging it, so they just haven't connected on anything.
Right, but his accuracy has been much more in line of what he did his, you know, the year before, not last year, because, I mean, if you look at it, his true completion percentage is 32nd in the league with 61.8%. His play-action completion percentage is 30th, 44%. His deep ball completion percentage, which is really a problem, is only 20% at 30th among all quarterbacks. And even a clean pocket completion percentage is 32nd among all quarterbacks. And his catchable pass rate is only 63%, which is 27th among all quarterbacks. And so just the accuracy just hasn't been there for him so far. Now, it's only two games, and so it's not enough to really be that worried about. But I think where this helps is I think a lot of people are going to be looking at Josh Allen and not want to play him. There's just a lot of really good games this week, and this is not an area that I think people are going to want to attack this game. The question I think will also be is can Taylor Heinicke, because this Buffalo defense has been really good so far to start the season as well. I mean, they just completely shut down Miami last week. So are they going to push them enough to be able to kind of, you know, have them open this whole thing up? But I think that's the only thing to kind of keep in mind with him would just be that, you know, he has been all over the place in terms of accuracy, which was a problem that we knew that was heading into last year, but then he kind of ended a lot of those concerns that people had for him. So regardless of that, I don't mind playing Josh Allen. I think there's some other guys that I would rather play, but I did want to ask you really quickly about one more, and that is Ryan Tannehill for the Titans. They're right there in certain terms of applied point totals as well. They get this matchup against Indy. Now, we'll have to wait and see if Carson Wentz is going to play, because if Carson Wentz doesn't play, it's going to be a Derrick Henry game where they're just going to feed Derrick Henry the whole game. They're not really going to have to open up this offense very much, because there's no way. I mean, Eason looks completely lost and terrible out there as a backup quarterback for Carson Wentz. So if Carson Wentz doesn't play, then I would probably not want to do this. But if he does, I think Ryan Tannehill, now he hasn't really hit at all so far to start the year. I think it's coming, and I think, you know, we've seen him be very middle of the road so far. But I do look at him, and he is 10th in air yards among all quarterbacks. And, you know, the accuracy hasn't been great. It's not terrible. But I do think that in this game, if we can get a little bit of a shootout here, I think it makes sense, because we still know Tennessee's defense is terrible. I'm not worried about that. So if Carson Wentz can play this game, I think this could be a back-and-forth affair. And I like targeting a wide receiver in this game a lot. I absolutely love A.J. Brown, and we'll talk about that more when we get to wide receivers at his price. But I do think Tannehill is a little bit interesting, because I don't think anybody's going to play him, and this could be a blow-up spot for him, much similar to like how you feel about Josh Allen. I kind of look at the same way with Ryan Tannehill, that he just had some bad luck. He hasn't been great. And then the second half of last week, it was the Derrick Henry show, and he didn't really have to do a whole lot.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry is going to be one of the more popular running backs on the slate, despite his hefty price tag. So, you know, we talk about, you know, leverage on the field all the time. If Derrick Henry's not scoring any touchdowns, I mean, this Colts defense has given up points. You know, they got smashed by Russ in week one and then just got smashed by Stafford last week. So, yeah, you definitely can throw on them. And the leverage play there is playing either full stacking Tennessee and going Tannehill, Julio, and A.J. Brown, which, because we saw last week that both guys can coexist. And their prices are not jacked up to like where they're 7,500, 8K to where, you know, they've got to be in the 35 point range for you to really, really need them to have them. Really need to have them. You know, they're sitting in the 6,500 range. I mean, they get you 25 to 30 points and you're happy with that because they are going to be low owned. So you're just hoping that, you know, they can outscore the Cooper Kupp. Maybe Cooper Kupp has a bad game and gets, you know, 10 to 15 points and your A.J. Brown goes for, you know, 30. So you're doubling the Cooper Kupp teams that are out there. So yeah, I like that as a leverage play. And you know where we always talk about wanting to know where the ball is going, and Tennessee is one of the most concentrated offenses in the league in terms of offensive production. It's just the matchup for Derrick Henry doesn't get much better. This Indy run D has been pretty bad to start the year. So definitely going to have to make a decision on that. Whether you're going to eat the Henry chalk at running back, you know, which I guess it can be a good segue unless you want to talk about anybody else at QB. You know, Derrick Henry's coming in at the top of the price tag range. What is he, 8,600? Yeah, 8,600 against this Indy team who ranks dead last in the adjusted line yards metric. which I weigh pretty heavily in my running back selection process for DFS. Henry's got a great matchup, and Dalvin Cook is questionable, which sounds like there's a chance he could miss. I mean, he hasn't practiced dealing with a pretty bad ankle sprain, and he had a stinger last week, which he said he's never experienced before in his life, which, you know, stingers come and go. Like, that just kind of happens in the spur of the moment, but it's really the ankle sprain that's holding him out of practice. And then after that, you've got Kamara up there against New England, who nobody's going to play because, you know, we haven't seen the Kamara 10 to 15 target games that we're used to. So Derrick Henry really is lone man at the top, and it's your, I think your slate is going to come down to whether you play him or whether you don't play him. And the encouraging thing about Henry is he's seen decent pass game usage that you can't ignore in the first 2 weeks, checking in at 4 targets and 6 targets weeks 1 and 2, you know, which 10 targets through 2 weeks. If I told you that Henry would be getting 5 targets a week, then you would probably have pushed him up your rankings preseason before drafts. So definitely going to be a tough spot to fade considering volume, especially if Carson Wentz is out on the other side. But I mean, I think that's, you know, one of the biggest questions we have to answer on this slate is are we playing Derrick Henry or not? Because I mean, he does have to have 50 point upside, which he just showed last week. So outside of that, wrapping out the 7K and higher, Nick Chubb and Austin Eckler at 7,600 and 7,200. Like I mentioned, I do really like Austin Eckler this week against Kansas City. You know, he finally, you know, everybody was panicking week one when he had 0 targets against Washington. And then he had 9 targets last week against Dallas. So the pass game work is going to be there, and his rush game matchup doesn't get any better than this. So I definitely think that, you know, he's a great tournament play because I don't think many people are going to be on him. People are going to want to stack the Chargers pass game with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Herbert. So once again, same situation Dallas was in last week. I think playing the running back as leverage off the quarterback stack makes a ton of sense. So I'm curious to hear what you're doing with those guys at the top, and then what other running backs you like this week.
I don't know what I'll be doing with Derrick Henry. I'll probably have some, but I'm not all super interested in him. I will say something that has caught my eye that is interesting with him is the fact that they're utilizing him so much in the passing game, or far more than what he's ever been in his career, right? Like, I mean, so far I think he has 10 targets on the year, and that is, I mean, he only had like 30 all of last year, and so he's already at 10 through 2 games. Now, if this is something that's going to continue, then he enters more of that conversation of being able to play him when he's this expensive, because that's always been the problem whenever he's this expensive and he's the number one guy on the slate. And if he's going to be chalky, is the fact that he just doesn't throw he just doesn't get involved in the passing game. And if he can get game scripted out, you know, and which is still a possibility. Now, I would be a little bit more surprised if Indy was able to do that, especially with Carson Wentz, you know, having this injury that he has. Even if he plays, you're talking about 2 bum ankles. So him being mobile and being able to move around the pocket is going to be a problem. But so with Derrick Henry, I don't mind him, but if he's going to be chalk, I'll probably look somewhere else. The problem is, at least right now, running back, like, a lot of these top guys don't really, like, jump out at me. Like, you have to play them, right? You know, Alvin Kamara. Like, Kamara hasn't really been all that productive with Jameis Winston, and now they get on the road against New England, which is one of the best defenses in the league. And then you have Nick Chubb going against Chicago. Chicago's defense, especially their run defense, has been really good. And so now Nick Chubb can beat anybody on a given week, but I don't know if I'm going to go there at 7,600. You know, Austin Eckler obviously is the smash play at 7,200 going against the Chiefs defense that has just been absolutely gashed on the ground through each of the first 2 weeks. And so he definitely makes, you know, he's probably where I start, where I'm excited to play, you know, really get excited about playing one of these guys. But I also think he's probably going to carry a lot of ownership because people, you know, obviously know this, that how bad things have been. But if people are really wanting to pay up at quarterback, then I could see, you know, Austin Eckler, maybe his ownership doesn't get as high because of that.
I was drinking water. I think that is the chalky build this week, is, you know, people are going to pay up for like a Mahomes or a Lamar or Russ or somebody like that, or Stafford, and then get those, you know, 6 to 7K wide receivers like Kupp and Woods and Keenan Allen. And then they're also playing Derrick Henry. So that doesn't leave salary left over for Austin Eckler. And I think he's going to come in under-owned to what he should be given this matchup. Like we both said, I mean, this KC defense has looked pretty bad through 2 weeks. And like we've always over the last, 2-3 years, you know, KC has been a place where wide receivers go to die in terms of fantasy production. I mean, Marquise Brown just shredded them last week to the tune of 6 for 120 in a score. And so it's like, I mean, that was the one thing they had. And now they don't even have that because they gave up good production to like, what was it? Anthony Schwartz was shredding them down the field in week one against Cleveland. So, I hate to only, you know, rely on 2 weeks of data, but just from the eye test, this KC defense looks really bad. And I mean, that just makes you love the KC pass game on the other side, which we need to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 4,800 because he's going to garner some ownership. But if he can get involved in the pass game, you know, then that's definitely somebody that I'm interested in. Like I mentioned, this Chargers defense is one that allows you to run the football based on the style of defense they play. So I don't think a 100-yard game is out of the question here on the ground for CEH. And if he can get, you know, 5, 6, 7 targets, I think you're looking at a 25 to 30 point DraftKings game.
Have you seen, I know you said you looked at ownership a little bit. Did you look at all where CEH was coming in?
He's popular, but he's not up at the very top. He's like second or third, but it's like manageable. It's like the 15 to 20% range. Derrick Henry was like coming in at 25. I can pull it up as you know, kind of go through some other guys.
Well, let's do that real quickly, and then we'll get to him. So one guy I do like, and I don't think he's going to carry any ownership, is Jonathan Taylor at $6,700. If you look at Tennessee, they have not been great against the run through for these first two games either. They currently they are 22nd in adjusted line yards, but 27th in power, 27th in open field. And so they just haven't really been that good of a run defense so far. And so I like getting some Jonathan Taylor. Now there is some concern here, you know, obviously with Nyheim Hines being there, but you know, if you look at last week where, you know, he only saw one target, you know, one catch, but the week before he had 7 targets and 6 receptions. And so if we can get a little bit more somewhere in the between there, I like Jonathan Taylor and what should be a good matchup. Now, again, you know, there is some, you know, a little bit of concern with, you know, Carson Wentz. But if Jonathan Taylor can get going here, I do like targeting Jonathan Taylor at his price, $6,700. He's going to carry no ownership whatsoever in what should be a good matchup facing this Tennessee defense. And then Saquon Barkley. I know whenever I first went and looked at pricing, that was the first thing that stood out to me immediately was his price at $6,500. And that's going to be another guy that I'm really curious of where his ownership comes in because
he's low right now.
Which if he is going to be low, I am going to be all in.
And obviously it's Thursday, so things are going to change because, you know, ownerships right now are based on the content that's, you know, come out throughout the industry and just gathering sentiment. So there is, you know, Friday's a big day for DFS content, so ownerships will change. But as of right now, yeah, Saquon Barkley is pretty low on the ownership.
Yeah, and so for him, like, and if you look at it with him, like on the surface level, it is concerning. I will say that because, you know, you'll say he's scored about 60K points, a game, which is absolutely horrendous. But there's a lot to like here with the secondary profile. Like, he's 10th in evaded tackles among all running backs. He's 14th in breakaway runs. He's 5th in juke rate, 15th in yards created per touch, and 19th in yards in total yards created. And we saw his production and go up from last week. I mean, he had played 47% of the snaps week 1 against Denver, and then he went to 82% week 2 against Washington, which I don't think people thought he was going to get there that quickly. And so I think that we're talking about a player that I think that is on the verge of breaking out. And this Atlanta defense isn't a defense that scares me that's really going to be able to hold him back. The biggest question mark for him will be, is he going to get more involved as a pass catcher? He's only seen 6 targets on the season so far. And there is some concern with Daniel Jones and his him wanting to run to take some of that away from him because he's not going to be looking to check down as much. But still, at a low ownership at $6,500, and Saquon Barkley's, you know, game break. The reason you target Saquon is going to be because of his his ceiling that he possesses, right? And it's not just through the air. It's also his ability to break off those long runs like he did last week for 41 yards. And he's a true home run hitter. And so if he's back, and I think that he is, like he's starting to look more and more like the Saquon Barkley of old. And at 6,500, that's such a great value in a game that I really like. I don't even mind targeting going Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley in a stack. Like I don't mind doing that with them and getting all of that game. But I like Saquon Barkley a lot at $6,500, especially if he's going to have no ownership. Because I felt like he was probably somebody that people would want to target. So I like Saquon a lot, and I think people can be really confident with playing him at $6,500. Going down from there, if Dalvin Cook does not play, we kind of talked about this at our chat. You have Alexander Mattison, who's 6K. I will be all out on that.
I'm not playing him either.
It was always a trap. We've seen this. We see this every year because Dalvin Cook misses games every single year. And it's always Alexander Mattison chalk week. And everybody's he talks him up and wants to play him because he's usually a lot cheaper too. Usually when you're playing him, we're talking about a guy who's probably like 4K, $4,500, whatever. But he is 6K. I mean, he's right there with Joe Mixon. You know, Saquon, I just talked about, even guys like David Montgomery, Antonio Gibson, DeAndre Swift, like all these running backs he's going around. No fucking thank you. Am I going to play Alexander Mattison if Dalvin Cook's not there in DFS? So I want no part of that. I will be out on Alexander Mattison. You know, going down further, I do like Chase Edmonds at 5,700. He's getting up there a little bit in price to where that's a little bit more risky than where he was at, like the $4,800 he's been, $4,900. But in this matchup against Jacksonville, I don't mind it. He is carrying the load more. I think he's right around 55-56% of the snaps right now. And he's kind of splitting the carries, but he's getting all the pass catching work from James Conner. And so I don't mind him. Now, let's talk about the guy you've already talked about with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And so, for me, my biggest caveat with him was I felt like he was going to be much higher owned at $4,800. I thought people would want to target him. But it doesn't sound like that's as much the case. I know you said, I guess he's third, and if that's really where he comes in, and if he hits that 20% mark, I don't know. Because, like, there is some serious red flags with him because they are not targeting him in the passing game. Now, it has only been two games, but they're just not looking for him. Like, constantly, you see him open, and Patrick Mahomes is just not looking to dump it down to him. And I haven't been able to figure out, even going back to last year, why they don't utilize him similar to what they did with Damian Williams, where they would hit him on those wheel routes and stuff like that. They do not do that with him at all. And you have Darrell Williams now looking like he might be the goal line back. And so if he's the goal line back, like, this is tougher to trust with CEH, because if he's not going to be the pass catcher and all you're going to get from him is this carries. Now, it is a great matchup against the Chargers, like you mentioned. And at the price, it makes sense because he's $4,800. He doesn't have to do a ton to pay that price tag off and to be able to hit value.
I mean, he had 17 touches last week at $4,800.
Right. He's handling 85% of the opportunities in the backfield. He's just not getting the targets. And so at $4,800, I don't mind it. It's just going to really depend on where his final ownership comes in, because if it's going to be high, I will be out on that, and I will go other places. But if he's not, and if he stays in that, if you can get him at 15%, even, I think I would be fine with that. But if he starts getting to the 20%,
that's where he's sitting right now, is 15%, and he's second behind Henry, who's like 25%. But running back's pretty spread out this week, it seems like. And like you mentioned, because when you look at the list of running backs this week, there's no CMC. Kamara's not getting the same usage that we're used to. There's a lot of just unknowns that guys that aren't getting, you know, this high RB1 usage that we are confident in. You're getting one of the true guys who leads their team in touches and that's CEH, and he's only 4,800. And I think this is a matchup. They've had tough matchups too against Baltimore, and that Las Vegas defense is better this year than I think people want to give them credit for. I mean, they made Pittsburgh last week look like they didn't know what the heck they were doing. And it took the Ravens a whole two quarters before they even decided they wanted to play offense too. So I'm not going to put a lot of stock in the production for CEH so far in terms of just like efficiency standpoint, just because, you know, the two defenses they played in Baltimore and Las Vegas, I think it's going to be two of the better defenses they play this year. So I just think that this matchup lines up, and if I get burned, so be it, but I want to be on him before he does have a breakup game. Because I mean, last year we talked about, you know, all of his goal line carries that he got, and he got stuffed at the goal line every time. Like, that's all it takes for CEH to have a big day, is to, you know, score two touchdowns on the ground and, you know, catch four passes for 40 yards and rush for 80. You're looking at 25 DraftKings points. So it's going to depend on where his final ownership stands. I think that I agree with you on that in terms of what I do with him. But I'm pretty in lockstep with you this week, I think, at running back. A guy we didn't mention that I'm curious on your take on is Joe Mixon, and then we can move to wide receiver, and he's going to be literally unowned as well. They're playing Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh is missing a couple key starters, including TJ Watt, who's dealing with a groin injury. So, and on the Pittsburgh side, they're going to be without Deontay Johnson. Ben Roethlisberger is going to play, but he's a little banged up. And Pittsburgh hasn't been able to get anything going on the ground. So do you think that this is a game that could stay relatively close and Mixon could provide a lot of usage at, you know, a low 6K price tag and nobody's going to play him?
It's tough because Pittsburgh's defense, well, it sounds like, because I know that I think TJ Watt has been getting limited practices. So that is encouraging. If he's able to play, I don't know how I feel about it, because Pittsburgh's defense so far through the first two games is right where Pittsburgh's defense was last year. They're third in adjusted line yards. They're 19th in power, 18th in stuffed.
And it's mainly you'd mainly be playing them because of him because of the injuries to that Pittsburgh defense, because they'd be a depleted unit based on, you know, their unit, what you'd expect as a whole. Because he does get that price decrease because of the matchup, like DraftKings priced him down because of the tough matchup. But I mean, if TJ Watt's out, and the Devin Bush, he's either out or had been missing games
It sounds like he's going to be back. He returned.
He's back this week, but they're missing Dupree or somebody else at a key linebacker spot. So they're just pretty banged up across the board on defense. So I thought Mixon was interesting, especially. I really like Claypool on the other side, but we can talk about that when we get to wide receiver. But and we don't have to touch more on Mixon and talk a ton about it. But I was just curious because, you know, he's one of the – I mean, he's got 30 touch upside for $6,300. So,
yeah, I mean, and, you know, and like even Walido in the chat said Najee. And I will say this, though, about Cincinnati, it's one thing that surprises
stuffing
me.
The run.
Yes, is that they are sixth in adjusted line yards, eighth in power, third in stuff rank, seventh in second level, and ninth in open field rank. Like, they have been really good against the run.
They've gotten shredded through the air.
Yes. And so, like, I think that people could look at this game and see that the Cincinnati, and just your mind immediately goes, oh, that's the Bengals. That's going to be a good matchup for Najee Harris. It's against Cincinnati, but it just hasn't been that so far this year. And they played, I mean, we're talking about, you know, they played Dalvin Cook week one, you know, and did a pretty good job against him as well. Last week, David Montgomery didn't do a ton either. And so in that matchup against Chicago,
that's
so,
two good running backs. Yeah. That's two good running games that it was like 3.8 yards per carry for both of them. They both had like an identical stat line. It was like 18 carries for 61 yards. I'm completely off Najee Harris, and he's looked not great in the first 2 weeks as well. I don't know what the deal is there, but he's not involved as everybody was saying he was going to be in the pass game. And I know he caught a receiving touchdown last week that kind of saved his week. But I mean, you take away that 30 yard touchdown catch and you're looking at another single digit fantasy performance.
Well, they've been in some bad games, guys. Buffalo, they got down quickly early in that first half of the game, so they had to throw the ball a lot more, so that took them out there. And then last week, it was kind of the same thing against the Raiders. And so, you know, they just haven't really been in any positive game scripts, and their offensive line has been atrocious right now. They are 30th in adjusted line yards, that offensive line is, you know. Yeah. And so they just haven't been good, which is kind of what we expected, but I think they've been worse than what I expected too. So, yeah, I would be out on Najee as well. Is there any other running backs you want to talk about? You jump over to wide receiver.
No, I will say not for this week, but I will say we need to keep an eye on James Robinson because he took over lead back duties last week. Carlos Hyde got pretty much shifted out of the offense. But Robinson still only had 16 touches with only three targets. So not somebody that I'm on this week, but definitely want to keep an eye on him as we go.
Yeah. The only one I did want to mention, I completely forgot about, was I do think that I don't mind DeAndre Swift. I know he's questionable right now, but I don't mind him because of his pass catching work. And again, if they're going to be trailing at 5,800. And I also don't mind Tyson Williams. I forgot to mention him against Detroit. 5,800 as well. I don't mind playing him either if you wanted to get down in this 5K range. I think that those two are the ones that make the most sense to me, followed by probably Chase Edmonds. But that's probably where I would come in there. And then I guess if you really want to pay down and gamble a little bit, I don't mind Javonte Williams at 4,900. I think this could be a coming out party for him against this Jets defense where I think they play the ball control. They kind of run the ball a little bit here in this game against the Jets. So I don't mind that. It's not a high floor play. It's not a high ceiling play. But if you're looking to save it at running back and you want it maybe a little bit of leverage off of CEH, I don't mind Javonte Williams. So other than that.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think we can jump over to wide receivers.
Yep,
so let's talk about, okay, so you have Tyreek Hill at 8,400, surprise, surprise. DeAndre Hopkins at 8,200. Stephon Diggs at 7,600. Tyler Lockett, 7,400. DK Metcalf, 7,300. Justin Jefferson, 7,200. Calvin Ridley at 7K. Terry McLaurin at 6,900. Cooper Kupp, I don't know what this guy has to do, DraftKings, to get moved up. I don't really understand it here, but he's only 6,800. He just continues to be undervalued. He should be, in my opinion, up there in the upper 7K range, not chilling down here at $6,800. Adam Thielen, 6,700. Keenan Allen, 6,600. AJ Brown, 6,500. Julio, 6,500. Mike Williams, 6,400. Deontay, who doesn't sound like he's going to play, is 6,400. Mike Evans, 6,300. Allen Robinson, 6,200. Chris Godwin at 6,100. Juju Smith-Schuster at 6K. And then Cortland Sutton is 6K. And those are the 6K wide receivers. So how do you feel about wide receivers this week? Who are you going after?
I actually feel really locked in on wide receiver this week. I'm probably going to end up with minimal Tyreek at the top just for the reasons we talked about against the Chargers. You know, I think he can still have a good game, but at 8,400, I need, you know, 40 plus from him for him to have a must-have it score to need him. And I just think the Chargers are limiting opposing pass games enough. And just playing against, you know, Dallas last week, that's evidence of it. They're right up there with the Chiefs in terms of most explosive pass offenses in the league. So I do have concerns about Tyreek's ceiling, not his floor. Hopkins, I like him. If you're playing Trevor Lawrence, like we mentioned earlier, I think Hopkins makes a great run back. I already mentioned the love for the Bills and Stephon Diggs against this, you know, this Washington secondary that hasn't been very good through 2 weeks, have gotten shredded by, you know, main wide receivers or the star wide receivers on the other side. You know, Mike Williams was able to crush them in week one and Keenan Allen played well week one. And then week two, we saw Sterling Shepard have a good game and Slayton had a good game too. And he dropped a 50-yard touchdown as well. So, you know, wide receivers are having success against Washington. So I really do like Diggs a lot. And I think he could go overlooked this week with everybody trying to pay up for Derrick Henry. Justin Jefferson, if Dalvin Cook misses, the two games Dalvin Cook did not play last year, Jefferson had 9 receptions for 166 yards and 2 touchdowns and 9 receptions for 133 yards and 0 touchdowns. So, Jefferson absolutely smashed in the two games that Dalvin Cook missed and, playing against Seattle on the other side, And Minnesota has shown, you know, they're top 10 in pass rate and neutral script so far to start the year. So, you know, Minnesota wants to throw the ball. Justin Jefferson, his breakout game is coming. He's getting a lot of targets still. You know, he's one of the more talented wide receivers in the league. So I think, you know, 7,200 is a price that nobody's going to really pay for him on this slate. So he's got 40-point upside here. So I really like Justin Jefferson, especially if Dalvin Cook is out. I haven't decided yet what I'm doing with the Rams. Cooper Kupp, he's too cheap at 6,800. He's a cash game lock. But in tournaments, like we saw with, you know, CMC tonight, anything can happen, especially in football. So, you know, I probably am going to come in under the field on the Rams pass game and just pray that that game goes, you know, lower scoring like Dallas and the Chargers did last week. Keenan Allen, 6,600 against the Chiefs. We talked about how bad the Chiefs defense has been. And he is the main guy in LA for the Chargers. So 6,600 is a crime, feels like a crime for him. And we talked about getting leverage off of Derrick Henry on this slate. And I really like AJ Brown to do that. I don't think there's any cornerbacks on the Colts that can match up with AJ Brown. And he's 6,500 and we know he's got a 35-point ceiling. So that, you know, that feels like he's priced in a great spot to have a really good game. And after that, I mean, we can dive into the bottom of the barrel, but there's two more guys in like the 50 upper fives, low sixes. And that's Chris Godwin, assuming Jalen Ramsey is going to be all over Mike Evans the entire game. Chris Godwin should be Brady's number one guy in this matchup, especially if Antonio Brown is out. Due to the COVID protocol, there's still a chance he can play, but they're saying it's not likely. So Chris Godwin, I'm expecting to be the number one focal point on offense this week in a offense that's usually unpredictable, but it feels more predictable this week. And then Chase Claypool with Deontay Johnson likely to miss, this game. Claypool had a good game last year in the one game that Johnson missed. He had minimal usage, but it was a game Roethlisberger only threw 22 times. He caught four passes for over 70 yards. So we already mentioned that, you know, the Bengals are selling out to stop the run and you can pass all over them. So I really like this matchup for Claypool, whether Deontay plays or does not play. And then the last guy I'll mention, I know you'll talk about him too, Sterling Shepard. I mean, what else does he have to do, you know, like Cooper Kupp to get a price hike? I mean, he's still under 6K and has been the number one guy for the Giants through 2 weeks. And I do think, you know, there is interest in playing Kenny Galladay too. If he plays, he's currently questionable, but I think, you know, this could be a good breakout game for him. He leads the team in air yards and, you know, Atlanta is a defense that we can attack deep. So I think Kenny Galladay is another interesting guy in New York.
Yeah, I don't mind Kenny Galladay either. I think that he's in play. I mean, especially at 5,600, this is the game I like. I mean, it's such a cheap stack with Daniel Jones. Whatever you want to do, it kind of opens up everything else. You know, if you want to take shots everywhere else, you know, whether you want to get Kelsey in the lineup or take a shot at Tyreek. So I don't mind doing that either. I like that. As far as the wide receivers are concerned for me, I really like DK Metcalf at 7,300. I think this could be the week that he goes off. I know that Tyler Lockett for the first 2 weeks has just been nuclear, but I think eventually that's going to even out a little bit. It's not, you know, DK Metcalf's not getting left in the dust here. And so I think in this matchup against Minnesota, I don't care who their corners are. Their corners are terrible. And I know, I think even worse than that, Rashad Breeland, I think, is dealing with an injury of his own. So we'll have to see on that. But DK Metcalf is only 7,300. He's only 100 cheaper than Tyler Lockett. So it is expensive to pay up for that with him and Russ. But I like DK Metcalf here in this matchup of 7,300. You know, I'm not going to talk about the most obvious guys like Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's always in play with the way he's been doing it. But A.J. Brown, like you already mentioned, I love A.J. Brown at 6,500. He's been right there. He had he should have had a touchdown last week. It went right through his hands. He dropped it that he should have had. And I think it's just been some bad luck for him. And I think his time is coming. And I think his time could come very quickly against this really not good Indianapolis secondary. And so I like getting A.J. Brown as much as I possibly can at 6,500. Him and Julio are both 6,500.
Yeah, if Antonio Brown's going to be out, it's going to be hard not to have a lot of Chris Godwin at $6,100, because I think Mike Evans sees a lot of Jalen Ramsey in that matchup. And so I do think Chris Godwin makes the most sense at $6,100 there in that matchup as well. You know, it's going to be interesting with Cleveland because Jarvis Landry is now on IR. Now, it does sound like Odell Beckham will be back for this game. He's been getting in he's been getting in practice time, and, you know, for all accounts, sounds like, barring a setback, he is going to open up the season this week. I don't necessarily love it, but I think you could beat Chicago's secondary. Chicago's secondary is not great. They are really good against the run. They're more of a pass funnel than run funnel. So I don't mind Odell at $5,300. It is a risk because you have no idea what he's going to look like because he has not played since the injury last year. And I think we all thought he would have been ready by now. But I don't mind Odell at $5,300. He was somebody last year who gets a pretty high – I mean, I don't know if anybody would be shocked if he got 10 to 12 targets in this game with no Jarvis Landry, right? Like, I do think it's going to be a little bit more slow-paced, gross type of game. But in terms of who's going to get the targets here, I think Odell probably sees a pretty high target share. And at $5,300, nobody's going to play him because everybody's going to be off of him, especially with his first week back. But I just don't mind him at $5,300. I think you could definitely do a lot worse than him. So I don't mind that. You know, Rondell Moore is interesting at 5K because now they've raised his price tag up. But after the big performance he just had, and if this game does end up, you know, there's a point scored and they push Arizona to really put up some points here, I don't mind Rondell Moore. Super explosive. I wish they would. Yeah, and right. Yes. And I wish they would just get rid of A.J. Green. I don't know why A.J. Green, just use A.J. Green sparingly. Play him in the Larry Fitzgerald role. Let him play a little bit, you know, get some snaps here and there.
The thing, though, that's nice about the AJ Green being there is they can just run him down the sideline every play and leave Rondale Moore to, you know, eat up the yak underneath. So it does help in that regard. But I agree. Like, the usage for AJ Green, because he's up there with Hopkins and Rondale in terms of targets. Like, Rondale and Hopkins should easily be the 1 and 2 in that offense.
Yeah. And so with that, you know, I think from there, you know, outside of, like I said, like the most obvious plays, you know, those top games, because, you know, like I said, Lockett, Metcalf are both in play. Justin Jefferson's definitely in play. Thielen's in play, you know, Tyreek. And so let's talk about some of these cheaper options down here where I think some people, you know, especially if you're wanting to pay up a quarterback, you're going to need to find some of these wide receivers. And is there any, you know, value sub 4K wide receivers you're looking at?
Yeah. First, though, there is one guy that I think we just kind of glazed over, and that's Marquise Brown against Detroit at $5,600. I mean, he's gone, how many games is it now in a row that he's either had 80 yards or a touchdown? So, I mean, he's got, you know, 25 to 30 upside and has been providing a really good floor against a really, really bad Detroit secondary that's without Okuda. And I mean, we saw MVS last week get behind the defense a couple times. Rodgers just freaking missed him multiple times. So I really do like Hollywood Brown this week too. But there is one guy that's really cheap, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Scotty Miller, assuming Antonio Brown is out, is going to rotate into that Antonio Brown role that Scotty Miller played weeks 1 through 8 of last year before Antonio Brown was a thing. I mean, do you think that's too thin on a slate like this? Especially, I mean, so my thinking is with Jalen Ramsey going to be plastered all over Mike Evans. And if, you know, the Rams want to somehow try to take away Chris Godwin on the inside, I mean, you're left looking at Scotty Miller on the outside, assuming, you know, that he is the guy that takes over. But, I mean, he had his point totals last year in weeks 1 through 8 were 13, 3, 11, 19, 0, 1, and 26. So, I mean, there is upside there, and he's free. He's min price, basically. Do you think that that's too thin on a slate like this? Because, I mean, there's still a chance, I guess, that he could rotate in with Tyler Johnson, right, who's been the guy that's been rotating in. But last year it was Scotty Miller playing that Antonio Brown role.
I think it's possible, but I do think it's really thin because I could also see Tyler Johnson just playing that role. And with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Gronk now, even more so. I just don't know what the targets will be there for them, for him. And so I don't mind it. Like, I think it's he's in play for sure. It's not something I want to attack aggressively, but I think if you're wanting to get different in that game and find some different pieces to get leverage off some of these guys, like I think Scotty Miller does make some sense because he does have some big game potential. Like he's had some pretty big games last year. And so I don't mind that. I think he's probably definitely in play.
And we know that this Bucs offense attacks matchups. Like week one when they played Dallas, Mike Evans was irrelevant because Diggs was plastered on him, you know, size on size, corner on wide receiver in week one. And Evans was non-existent. So they attacked the other matchup, and that's Antonio Brown, the matchup he had with Anthony Brown. So it was him and Godwin, you know, most of the night. And I don't think Brady's just going to sit there and throw it at Jalen Ramsey all game, even though, you know, Mike Evans is, you know, up there with Godwin being the main two wide receivers they have. Like, I think that they're going to try to attack matchups. And the matchup screamed attacking the other side of the field from Jalen Ramsey. So, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet. I kind of want to try to get a feel for maybe some practice reports and see, you know, what kind of rotation they might have with Antonio Brown slated to miss. But yeah, I think he's interesting. That's the lone dumpster dive guy that I have.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a few guys that I don't mind here that are in the 3K range. I have some interest in Quintez Cephas right now. I mean, really the Lions' number one wide receiver, you know, especially now Tyrell Williams, he is done for the year. The ageless wonder that is Tyrell Williams. But I mean, so far, I mean, he has 14 targets on the year. I mean, last week he played pretty well last week against a decent Packers secondary. 14 targets last week. He's got 7 receptions, 75 yards, and 2 touchdowns so far, you know, for averaging around 14.3 DK points a week. Now, again, I mean, he could end up – I mean, there's zero chance that Marlon Humphrey would shadow in this game at all. And I know the Arnett kid they have has been okay, but I don't think it's very thin, and it's not something that I would, you know, if you're playing a really consolidated, you know, amount of lineups, I probably wouldn't go there. But at his price at $3,900 and the amount of targets he's likely going to see, they just don't have anybody else. It's him and Hockenson, really. Khalif Raymond, and I mean, like, you know, I talked about this yesterday that, like, I mean, I played Trinity Benson. Like, who's Trinity Benson? Does anybody know who Trinity Benson was? And Showdown last, you know, on Monday night. That's like their third wide receiver, you know? And so they just have absolutely nothing. And so he's going to see targets. And Jared Goff has been able to support in his career 2 pass catchers. You know, we saw it with whenever he was with the Rams. Now, this isn't the Rams offense, obviously, but he does have that ability to be able to do that. So I don't mind Quintez Cephas at his price tag. You know, Mecole Hardman's always in play at $3,900, and he's gotten a little bit cheaper, but he hasn't been able to fire. But this feels like a game. I wouldn't be surprised if he found, you know, so much attention going on Tyreek Hill that he could find, you know, a deep touchdown. So I don't mind Mecole Hardman at $3,900. What is your thoughts on somebody like Hunter Renfrow? Because he's seeing targets, and he's going to play the slot. That's where you attack Miami, because you don't want to be attacking the outside with Xavien Howard and Byron Jones. And so we're always looking to target the slot. The problem, though, there is obviously Darren Waller, you know, and how much of that happens.
Yeah.
But Hunter Renfrow, I mean, again, I mean, he seems to be that guy that just kind of comes up and has some big games here and there. So I don't mind Hunter Renfrow. But again, it's kind of a thin play. And then the other guy, Anthony Schwartz, you know, no Jarvis Landry. He is super explosive, you know, third round pick, had a, you know, kind of a relatively big week one, didn't really do a whole lot last week, but they didn't really have to open up the offense all that much. But I feel like in this game against Chicago, they're going to have to be a little bit more involved. And so I don't mind Anthony Schwartz. He's going to be 1% owned, if that, at $3,200. But again, kind of a thin play too. So I think that for me, at least, you know, kind of going through this list here of wide receivers, like those would be the guys that I'd probably have the most interest in. And then maybe I think Amalad, I always fuck this guy's name, Amalad Zacchaeus, Jesus Christ, for Atlanta. Russell Gage right now is questionable. He may not play. If he doesn't, that means he's going to be the number 2 wide receiver here in this offense. Now, It's not a great game against the Jets, or excuse me, the Giants, but I think James Bradbury is going to spend most of his time, if not all of his time, on Calvin Ridley. So that does open up some things here for Zacchaeus, who's only $3,500. So I think he's in play. And then KJ Osborne, I mean, you called him out last week. He was the guy that you really talked about, that you really liked last week, had a really big game again, and now he's still only $3,500. I don't get that either. I think he should be probably more in the four, you know, maybe at least in the 4K range after the two big games. He leads that team in receiving yards through the first two games of the season.
I don't
understand why he's only $3,500. Yeah.
never heard of the guy, and he's got more yards than Thielen and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. So that's where we stand. So I think those are kind of the guys. If I had to, like, I don't think it's a weakness. I think there's enough value out there at other positions that you don't really have to do that. But, you know, I tend to, if I have a build that I absolutely love and I have $3,800 left, you know, I have no problem. I'm not gonna blow up my lineup and try to, you know, move guys out of the lineup. I will find somebody there that I feel okay with, and I think those would be the couple of the guys that I would be looking at.
Yeah, and I do want to mention Emmanuel Sanders, too. I know I briefly mentioned his name when talking about Josh Allen, but he's second on the team in air yards behind only Diggs. Diggs has 258 in two games, which is a lot, and Sanders has 243. So Sanders is sitting at 243 air yards, but only 100 receiving yards to show for it. Third on the team in targets behind Diggs and Beasley. So it's really been a three-man show through the air on a team that wants to throw a lot. So 4,200 for Emmanuel Sanders, who's gotten 243 air yards through 2 weeks against this Washington defense that can be beat through the air. So I really like him. That his profile just sets up for a ceiling. He's got a ceiling type profile, right? So when he doesn't hit, you know, he's going to get you 8 to 10 points. But when he does hit, I think he does have 25 point upside at 4,200. So he's somebody that I'll probably end up playing this week.
Well, let's jump over to tight ends. So tight ends are actually interesting this week because we have Kelsey on the slate. We have Darren Waller on the slate. TJ Hockenson is also on the slate. And then you have Gronk, who just continues to score touchdowns, Mark Andrews. So Kelsey's 8,200, Waller's 7,400, Gronk is 5,500. Hockenson is only 5,200, and I'm guessing that's because of the Sunday night, you know, pricing, because he should be much higher than that. And then you have Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, who's 4,900, Noah Fant's 4,800, Logan Thomas is 4,700, Jonnu's 4,100, and then Tyler Higbee's 4K among those tight ends. It's going to be hard not to play a lot of TJ Hockenson at 5,200 because he has the same ceiling that Travis Kelce has and Darren Waller has. Or maybe it's not the exact same. It's probably a little bit lower, but he's not far off. We're talking about a tight end right now who is number one in routes run among all tight ends. He's second in targets with a 21% target share. He's third with 20. He's averaged 23.2 DK points a game. And so, I mean, he's getting all the air. He's third in air yards share among tight ends. He has four red zone targets. I mean, he's the offense. It runs through him, right? And it's just really tough not to want to play him because of the discount you are getting off of, like, he should be in the same – he's in the same conversation as Darren Waller and TJ Hockenson is, or TJ as Travis Kelce is, in my opinion. But he's significantly cheaper than they are. And I just think that's a mistake. And so I don't mind playing Kelce and Stacks. I don't mind playing Darren Waller. Obviously, their ceilings are incredibly high. But TJ Hockenson deserves – he's in that conversation in terms of volume. And that's why we want to play Kelce and Waller, because they are so heavily involved in their offenses, where Hockenson kind of does that as well. And it's not the best matchup against Baltimore. But at the same time, $5,200 – at his price tag and the volume he's going to see, it's really hard to pass up. So I prefer to play him over the top guys if I, you know, in a vacuum.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to like Hockenson. Tight end's usually pretty straightforward for me. I mean, if you're playing a top guy, you just play Kelce or Waller. And then Hockenson is acting like a top guy and he's only priced 5,200 against the, I mean, this Detroit team is going to have to throw the entire year because their defense is so bad. So, I mean, he's safe and he has upside. One of the few tight ends that can go for 100 yards on any slate. I think Noah Fant is interesting. He's been, you know, pretty productive through two games. And I guess the issue is, you know, how much is Denver going to throw or do they need to throw against the Jets at home against them? But I mean, Fant does have, you know, in a game that, you know, if they need to throw more, he does. He's one of the few tight ends also that has 100 yard upside, which we've seen from him occasionally. So I think he's interesting. But I mean, it's hard to get away from Tyler Higbee as well, especially after last week when he was popular and put out a dud. And now this feels like the perfect spot to play Tyler Higbee when everybody's going to play Woods and Kupp. And, you know, I feel like, you know, Bruce Arians' coaching staff is going to say, we're not going to let Cooper Kupp just shred us over and over again. So let's make somebody else beat us. And maybe, you know, maybe McVay. I mean, even in week one, we saw McVay purposely getting Tyler Higbee. You know, he was the first read on a lot of plays in week one. So which that didn't end up being the case in week two. It was back to Cooper Kupp again. So I think, you know, if there is a lot more defensive focus on Kupp this week after, you know, the success he's had through 2 weeks, then, you know, Higbee is a great leverage play. Because, I mean, the Rams are still going to score points, right? So you're looking for a way to get exposure to their pass game without, you know, eating a lot of chalk. And I think Higbee does that. Other than that, man, I don't know that I'm going to go much cheaper at tight end. Tight end has just been gross this year. I mean, I guess you could play Njoku on Cleveland, who's, you know, they're without going to be without Landry. But, I mean, Cleveland just spreads the ball around so much. But he's the one guy that he has been utilized down the field. He's got a 16% target share. But despite that, he's got like a 27% air yard share. So they have been targeting him deep and you know, 3,500. I think he's interesting, but that's more of a ceiling play. And playing in Chicago, you know, I don't really expect Cleveland to score a lot. So not really somebody I'm going to end up having a lot of, if any. But yeah, tight end, I just feel like tight end's kind of gross, but it's also straightforward.
It is. It definitely is. There's not a lot of – normally on weeks, I feel like there's like – I was like, okay, you know, in 3K lanes, like, I could find some guys that I really like.
Doesn't feel like that.
No, I mean, I think Njoku's in play, but it is thin because you also have Hooper who's going to be involved, and you also have Harrison Bryant who's going to be involved. And so, I mean, if you look at Njoku, he is actually number one among all tight ends in air yards and market share of air yards.
And that's the only reason you'd be playing him, because you can't trust on volume in that offense. So you're trying to play a guy that's a splash play guy, and it's been Njoku who's led the team in that regard.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's only run 16 routes all year. So yeah,
they're gonna have to throw at tight ends this week because unless OBJ plays, which I guess is possible. But
yeah, it sounds like he's gonna play. That's my thought though, is that, like, you know, it's easy to say that, but then it's like, okay, well, if OBJ back, Landry is now gone. But it's kind of one for one. It's kind of the same the way the offense has been, where you had your one.
And Landry only has a 12% target share through 2 weeks, and they still haven't been targeting these other guys. So it's just, I mean, you look at their, you just go down their list of targets. I mean, there's also not a single guy that has double digit targets yet. I mean, Hooper has 8, Njoku has 8, Bryant has 6, Landry has 6, Hunt has 4, Chubb has 3, Peoples-Jones has 2, Schwartz has 6, some guy named Demetric Felton has 2, Rashard Higgins has 2, Andy Janovich has 1. So it's like, they just throw to literally everybody, and it's not one or two players that get a ton of volume on a weekly basis. So that with Landry out, and if OBJ comes back, I can't play OBJ, and I don't want to play these tight ends after kind of talking through it. It's just gross. The Cleveland situation is just bad.
Yeah. They just had, like I said, they just haven't had to throw the ball. I mean, they're averaging 24.5 pass plays per game. But with that, Njoku has a 17% target share because of it. And he has, he's actually has a 50% targets per route run, which is crazy. But regardless. So yeah, I mean, I just think it's kind of thin at tight end. There's nobody else that I'm like overly excited about. Like, I think you could play Gesicki if you wanted to. Gesicki is running a lot of routes. He's top 10 and routes run. But now with Will Fuller back, how does that affect that? I do think Evan Engram is a little bit interesting at only 3,600. That's a lot cheaper than what he normally would come in at against Atlanta. It's a really good matchup. And how does that affect Sterling Shepard moving forward? We'll have to see on that. But I don't mind Evan Engram at that price tag at $3,600. But mainly, I'm going to try to pay up to one of these top guys, you know, and it's probably going to be a lot of Hockenson at 5,200, which makes it pretty easy to get to him. So that's pretty much where I would stand there. So let's just, unless you have another tight end you want to talk about, I say let's move over to defense.
Yeah, let's move over. I was just going to say, I like the Hockenson, Marquise Brown mini stack from that game.
Yeah, I don't mind that. So defensively, what are we looking at? What are we looking for here? I don't actually mind the Bengals at $2,100.
Oh, I don't either.
Like, Big Ben is known to make some questionable decisions when he's moving around the pocket. They're going to be out without Deontay. I just don't really mind, you know, playing them at $2,100. I mean, it's pretty much the bare minimum. And I just don't have much faith in that Pittsburgh offense. Their offensive line is absolutely horrendous. And so I don't mind playing the Bengals at $2,100. And I think that's really where I'm going to start. It feels a lot like the Cardinals in week one, where they were, I think, at the same price at $2,100. Yep. Nobody played them, and they went off. So I kind of like the Bengals at $2,100.
I think I'm just going to start my teams with Bengals $2,100 and just go from there.
Yeah, because I mean,
I don't see it. Like, you and I both, we both like to pay down, and it's got all the makings of what you look for in a defense anyway. So why not just play them?
That's where I'm at. And like, just even the defenses that are like much more expensive, like there's nobody this week. I guess you can make a case for the Broncos because of Zach Wilson and how much he's turned the ball over, but man, paying $4,300 for a defense is really tough. And it would just have to happen out that way that I had a team that had that kind of money left over, because I'm not actively looking to play the Broncos. It would only happen if it just naturally happened in a lineup that I was building that I would ever want to think about playing them. It is a great matchup for them, but you know, at $4,300, you know, that is pretty hefty to play. Why not just play the one that's $2,100? And variance, as we know, with defense is so wide.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm thinking we get to the team build and we just start the team with the Bengals defense.
Let's do it. So we are you know, moving on to the roster build portion of the show that we do every week. I was an idiot and forgot to save the lineup last weekend. But I feel like that lineup did really well. It had
a couple of duds in it, because I remember trying to look like piece together who was in it. But yeah, I mean, we stacked Minnesota with, we had Osborne. Justin Jefferson had an okay game.
I think we had Hopkins too,
Hopkins had an okay game. He was like 15 points or something. So, I mean, we had some good pieces, but the team as a whole wasn't, I don't think it was like taking, it would have cash deep in tournaments or anything.
Well, I'm definitely going to save this one this week. There's no concern there. So let's start it off. This is the week 3 build. We already got the Bengals at $2,100. Love that. So where are we going? Well, just go ahead. You can go next, because I think I would have went the same way.
Let's go cheap again. Let's go Trevor Lawrence at QB. Actually, scratch that. Let's go Josh Allen at QB.
Okay. So we got Josh Allen, a quarterback.
For the outside.
If we're going to play Josh Allen, I'm just going to go ahead and stick in Stephon Diggs.
And throw Sanders in there too. And we'll double stack him. I think they both can have a big week.
All right. Well,
I think it's a lock. One of them has a big week. And so even if Josh Allen gets you production on the ground, that it's not going to hurt you if one of them smashes. And even if it's not Diggs will still get you 15 if he doesn't like smash, but you would have 4,200 Emmanuel Sanders that nobody else would have if he crushes in place of Diggs. So I just like double stacking them there.
Okay. Let's go running back, and I'm going to lock in Austin Eckler, 7,200.
All right. And I will say, too, with the Bills, I don't think you need to force in a run back because their offense is pretty concentrated and they just throw so much. So I don't think I'm going to force in a Washington run back on the other side. So we got Eckler. Let's mini stack that game and hope it kind of underwhelms a little bit. And let's throw in Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
All right, so that leaves with $5,700 left. We have a wide receiver, tight end, and flex.
Ooh, I'm liking where this is going.
I'm going to go Hockenson. So that leaves 5,900 for wide receiver and flex.
I'm going to mini stack him with Marquise Brown. I'm seeing some Odell love in the chat. You're not playing OBJ this week, are you?
Like I said, I think he's in play at his price. I mean, he's what, 5,300?
52 or 53, yeah.
Yeah, 53. So I don't mind that price tag for him. And I think he could see a pretty heavy target share. So that leaves $6,300 at the flex.
Come on, I know you want to do it. There's one guy right around there. It looks really good. I really like this team. I might actually end up making this one of my main teams.
It's got to be Chris Godwin.
It's Chris Godwin.
Yeah, 6,100. You got to go there. Get that late night hammer. There you have it.
The team's awesome. It's low owned across the board pretty much, and it's got good correlations. You've got a mini stack with the two running backs in KC and the Chargers, and you've got a mini stack with Detroit and Baltimore.
So Josh Allen at quarterback, Austin Eckler, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at running back, Stephon Diggs, Manny Sanders, Marquise Brown, TJ Hockenson, Chris Godwin, and the Bengals defense at $2,100. So I am locking that in. So, and if we happen to have to make any changes, be sure to be in the Discord. We have a Discord, and I know we used to be on Slack, but this year we switched over to Discord. I don't know if we brought that up. I don't know if I brought that up on one of our shows yet, but we are on Discord. It's absolutely free. If you want to join, just go to our YouTube channel. Go to it's in the description of every one of our videos. It doesn't matter which video it is. There's a link to our Discord, and it is pretty much popping all the time in there, right? Like I've had to have my phone. I used to have my notifications on. Now I have them on, but the vibration is off because my phone just is constantly going off. Because we have channels for player props. We have channels for our DFS channel. We have Redraft. We have Dynasty. We have Devy. So there's constantly different conversations going on all of them. So it's been really cool to see it really grow and kind of take off. And really, I mean, we're just getting started with it. We just launched it like three or four weeks ago. So that has been doing really well there. Plus, we just hit 2,000 subs on our YouTube channel. So it's good to see that hard work pay off. So if you're listening to this on podcast, which I know you are, I've seen the numbers. We're doing really well there as well. Come over and hang out with us in the Discord. We can talk about some DFS. Have any questions? You know, we'll be there to answer them all day. Probably, you know, whenever you need it, but definitely on Sunday morning, we'll definitely be there to be able to answer any questions you may have.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're like Shay and you're just finding out about us, make sure you hit that like, hit that subscribe. It helps us out. And tell your friends, you know, there's always room for more. So the Discord is always popping. Walido is always in there answering questions for us, you know, during the day, you know, when we're not as active. But somebody's always in there talking football, which is great. It's good to see.
Absolutely. And that's what we're there for. That's what we're trying to do. That's what the whole plan with it was to grow it into where it's more of a community. And that's what yep. been my goal from the beginning is to build a strong community. So that is true, Shay. Why would I tell people I'm trying to beat? There you go. that is for sure. So anyways, with that being said, let's get out of here on that. I appreciate everybody checking out the show. Be sure to rate and review if you have it. And we will see you in the Discord. Hope everybody has a great week 3. Let's win that money. We out.
You know who you're talking to. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man.
tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.